Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
125 here on WWLAMFM.com and always live on the free Odyssey app. Reading now from WWL.com. Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who is running for president as an independent candidate, suspended parts of his campaign and endorsed former President Donald Trump. But what will he do now? The Republican nominee has said that he would consider offering Kennedy a spot in his administration. The former Democrat and environmental lawyer said he's made no commitments to doing so at the time. Kennedy shared his thoughts on a possible cabinet position while speaking with Fox News Sunday, saying that he has spoken with Trump about the matter. Joining us on the line right now to talk about this and more is the professor and department chair of political science at Louisiana State University, Robert Hogan. Professor, welcome to the show. Thanks for making time today.
No, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. In your view, what motivated RFK's decision to endorse Donald Trump, and how might it affect public perception of both of these men?
Well, I think from Kennedy's perspective, he is somebody who very much wants to get attention to causes that he cares about. And I think that this is a way that he felt that he could get a lot of attention on himself. He is polling numbers in most national polls indicated that they weren't nearly what they were several months ago. Now that people are recognizing his position on issues and where he stands, and could be a spoiler in the very important presidential election. So I think that's one of the reasons he wants to get attention, and the electoral route wasn't doing it for him. And so I think this is a way that he's going with a candidate who will accept his endorsement. Mm-hmm. I think that's what motivated him. I think from Trump's perspective, I mean, he wants Kennedy's endorsement. He believes that Kennedy will add to the number of votes that people voting for him somehow would transfer to Trump. Endorsements don't always work that way, but certainly in a tight election, you know, all votes are important, especially in those key critical swing states. And so if you can shave a few percentages off of or bring on a few percentages of votes, then it might help you.
I want to ask you, what are those issues that you like? What are Robert F. Kennedy's sort of pet projects that he wants to get attention for? And he thinks this is a way for him to do that now that the sort of electoral path has sealed itself off.
Sure. I mean, I think perhaps a kind way of saying it is he wants to bring attention to concerns that he has about vaccination issues. Probably a more realistic or, you know, science-based approach is he wants to bring attention to conspiracy theories that he has. Mm-hmm. And he has found a candidate who's willing to accept his endorsement. And again, Donald Trump is thinking that this is something that's going to be positive. You do not invite someone as a surprise guest to a rally and bring them out and have fireworks in the background if you don't think you're going to do something positive for your campaign.
Sure.
And that's indeed what Trump did last week.
Great. Okay. Before he dropped out, Kennedy was polling at about 4.7% in national aggregate polling. Larry Sabato is this kind of hotshot political scientist at UVA. Mm-hmm. He suggested that Kennedy's endorsement might not significantly boost Trump's numbers. If that's true, where are those 4.7% of voters going to go? That's almost 5%. That's not nothing.
Well, I mean, a lot of times what we have found in the study of American politics is a lot of the people who say they're going to, I mean, a lot of support for third party and minor party candidates, independent candidates, a lot of those people just stay home. They don't vote on Election Day. So that may be what happens to some of them. I mean, I happen to think that I don't think this is going to do Trump much good. In fact, I think it's more likely to hurt him. And the reason for that is if you look carefully at the things that Robert Kennedy stands for, he stands for, he says he's not anti, he's not an anti-vaxxer, but he is certainly somebody who wants people to doubt
vaccines. Yes, he is. Of course he is. What a silly thing for him to say.
Right, right. But he wants people to doubt these things. And if you look at public opinion polling, you find that there is tremendous support for vaccines. And you know, that's one of the things that the public agrees with the scientific community. It's pretty straightforward, and it's pretty clear that vaccines, appropriate vaccines, do save lives. And if there is a significant amount of vaccine hesitancy within the public, it puts children's lives and livelihood at risk. And the scientific community is very much legitimate scientists are lined up opposed to this, to these conspiracy theories that Robert Kennedy is pushing on the American public. I don't think that's, you know, you got to think that's not a good person to align yourself with, especially if you're Donald Trump and you are trying to appeal to highly educated voters in some of these suburban communities that are critical in these seven or so swing states. Those kind of people don't like that kind of stuff. And you've aligned yourself with someone who's a conspiratorialist. And, you know, there are some of those people in the Republican Party that support Trump. And, you know, but I don't think that this is something that's going to give Trump any credibility among independent voters, swing voters in the key areas where he needs them. He already has the staunch Trump voters, their turnout. This is not going to help them turn out anymore, and it has the potential to really repel moderate voters.
It makes me kind of wonder, Professor, about the effect of, I don't know, what maybe one could call sort of the, like, anti-endorsement. I'm thinking of maybe, you know, a Republican congressman that's running in kind of a swingy district, and then solicited or unsolicited, he gets an endorsement from Donald Trump. And then people that are on the fence look at him and say, oh, well, if that's the guy that Trump is choosing, I'm going to choose the other guy. How real is that effect?
Oh, and I think it's real. I mean, that's what endorsements are about. And then when you accept, especially when you accept an endorsement, you can, you know, sometimes some candidates have famously rejected not only endorsements, but campaign contributions from certain interest groups, right?
Of course, yeah.
It's, but when you fully accept it, it says, hey, this is someone who has issue positions that I think should be prioritized. When you mention that person as well as someone who might be, have an important position in your administration, it's hard not to believe that you don't agree with some of the most important things that person, you know, believes in. So, you know, I think that this results in Donald Trump having some explaining to do. And I think that that really, you know, this is taking attention time away. I mean, where there are only 71 days left, whatever it is, in the campaign. Where Trump should be trying to focus the attention on the Democrats and the Democrats' record and pointing to those. There are a lot of vulnerabilities that he could point to or point out. He doesn't want to be in a situation where he's having to explain why a conspiracy theorist has endorsed him and why he's accepted it.
There's been some speculation about Kennedy indeed joining the Trump administration, most likely as the Secretary of Health and Human Services. God help us. It's difficult for me to imagine that happening, given what we would expect from him, you know, sort of deprioritize vaccine programming or whatever else he would want to do. If people in the Health and Human Services, you know, I'll use industry for lack of a better word, but to include, you know, not just, you know, public organizations, NGOs, but also like big pharma, like the vaccine manufacturers, that those might be organizations that would be supporting the Trump campaign at this point. But if there's a possibility he's about to make RFK part of his cabinet and the head of HHS, That seems like a big red flag for those organizations that I just laid out, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And again, that's to the point that this doesn't seem to be a good idea for Trump to do this. And I mean, I suspect that if he did win and RFK could then claim some measure of responsibility for a positive outcome for Trump, I can also see Trump saying, and if it was any problem for him, he would push him aside easily, I think, in a Trump sort of way. I think you might see something like that if that came to pass.
Great. I got time for, I think, three more here, Professor. Kennedy mentioned that he withdrew from the race in order to avoid being a spoiler in those swing states. Is that a strategy that we've seen other places where a candidate, as part of like a strategic play, says, well, I'm going to remove myself from the ballot only in these seven states. Is that what's happened here, or did I misunderstand this?
No, that's my understanding, too. He's going to remain on the ballot, I think, in 30 other states where, that are presumably they're not going to decide the election. It's not, they're not swing states. And I'm assuming that that's being done for the purposes of showing that he has widespread support. And indeed, in a state like Texas, where the outcome, or in Louisiana, where the outcome is not really in doubt as to who's going to win the most votes, people might be freer to vote for, a third party candidate, a minor party candidate like him. So it's a way that he can demonstrate his support. I mean, it makes sense in some respect. Again, and it goes back to my point earlier. I think he's doing a lot of this to demonstrate attention to the things he cares about, and he wants to be able to somehow show grassroots support for his causes, and maybe that will help him raise money and be organized for a future election.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I wonder, and let me just see if I can get a fast answer here. Is that something that others have done in the past, these independent third-party Green Party candidates? Have they also said, I don't want to screw this up for the two major party tickets, so I'm going to take myself out in, Wisconsin, Nevada, et cetera?
I have never heard that happening, although Ross Perot, did something like that. He pulled out of the race, although it wasn't for that reason. I think if you talk to Ralph Nader, he would probably say he wish he had done that in Florida in 2000.
Of course,
because it probably was decisive for him. But I can't think of any other. But I mean, it makes strategic sense.
Mm-hmm. What do you think the future looks like for third party candidates and movements after this? Could this move discourage future independent runs, or does it set a precedent for forming alliances in a way that they do in other big democracies where they have, 30 different parties instead of two?
Well, here, third parties or minor parties are really, it's very difficult to get a foothold, at least at the presidential level, because, the electoral, whoever has the most electoral votes wins, and you have to have a plurality win in each of the states, right? So it's difficult for a minor party to win. I mean, the one that did it the best or so far in recent times is Ross Perot. Back in 1992, he won about 20% of the vote, but he didn't win any state, right? Mm-hmm. So you can win even a sizable portion of the vote, one out of five voters, but you win no state. So it's really difficult at the presidential level, less difficult at the state level, and we've had examples of this around the country over the years. Jesse the Body Ventura up in Minnesota being the best example.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably where that minor parties should focus their effort. But at the national level, most of the time when they do this is to bring attention to an issue. And the problem with Perot, I mean, he was doing really well and for a while there, and what often happens is one of the major parties, if they're running to draw attention to an issue, then one of the major parties takes up the issue and pulls the rug out from under the minor party candidate. So, sure. You know, the other parties take their positions. In some ways, you know, maybe that's not such a bad thing in that at least the issue gets attention. And so that's a way that minor parties might be able to bring attention to concerns that certain citizens have that the major parties aren't addressing. Mm-hmm.
Kennedy is teasing what he's referred to as a unity government under President Trump in the event that he becomes the president again, where everybody can disagree while working together. That sounds like, A, not that original of an idea. Like, that's what we're supposed to have, is a unity government where people have disagreement on policy issues, but they work together on the things where they have common ground. It also sounds a little bit naive and possible only if Democrats give up on being Democrats, which I guess that makes sense because that's kind of exactly what RFK has done here.
No, I think that's a fair assessment. I mean, I agree that does sound a little naive. I think what he's in talking about it in that way or framing it that way, I think he's trying to emphasize the fact that, you know, most people, I think, initially when they think of the name Kennedy, they associate it with the Democratic Party, mm-hmm. Despite the fact that he is very far afield from most issues, concerns of Democrats these days. You know, in terms of focusing on getting things done, I mean, all presidents say that, all people who want their presidential candidate to win. It's going to be different this time. Mm-hmm. we're going to focus on the problems that matter to the American public, address those, and not be bogged down in the partisan bog here. But of course, the partisan bog is, you know, due to the fact that people and parties stand for certain issue positions and they don't back down. And in a highly polarized environment, it's increasingly difficult to find common ground.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Anything else you want our audience to hear before we let you go, Professor?
I think that's about it. This is a very, to say it's an interesting election period is really a, this is a series of events that we haven't seen in a very long time.
Yeah.
And probably won't see for a time to come.
I think that speaks to our sort of, what I've called in the past on the program, a sort of goldfish brain. We live in a goldfish brain society where we don't, I mean, we think about it sometimes, but it feels like such a distant event that you have one candidate who gets hit with 34 felony convictions. That's never happened before. A little, you know, while after that, he's shot. Then you have this. Nobody's ever had a debate performance as bad as that. Then he drops out. Then she. I mean, it's just, this is nuts. We are in completely uncharted territory here. Yeah.
What will happen next? You never know.
We will be sure to call you when it happens for your expert analysis. My guest is Professor Robert Hogan from the Political Science Department at Louisiana State University. Professor, thanks for your time. You're working your way. Have a great week.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
There he goes. If you want to react to anything you just heard, give me a call. Shoot me a text. I got time to talk to you right now. It's 504-260-1870. That is, of course, the Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. If you were an RFK Jr. supporter before, what are you doing now? Are you going to the Trump camp, or are you going to do what Professor Hogan said a lot of third party ticket supporters do, which is just not show up or not vote? You know, you don't jive left, you don't jive right. So if you don't get somebody that's neither, then you just don't do it. You just stay home that day. Let me know what you're thinking. 504-260-1870. I'm Ian Hogan for Scoot. Be right back after this.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.